I want to speak tonight, the fourth in my series of overcoming. That's number four of six, and you can get the whole series on the website. And what I want to speak on tonight, and also the next couple of times I speak, is how to move in supernatural faith. Amen? Because faith is the key to everything. God only responds to faith. Doesn't respond to anything else. And so whatever we do, if we do in faith, God will react. That's his promise to us. And if we're bound up in fear and unbelief, nothing's going to happen. And so part of the preparation for God to move is that we get our hearts aligned with him in faith. And that's good news. The trouble with faith is that it can only be proven by actions. Faith is active. If you make a decision for Christ, that doesn't end there. Being a Christian means believing and then changing your life to line up with his purpose and his values. And so faith always means change. And if you want to grow in faith, I want to see change. Amen? Because it won't come any other way. See, the two things that prevent faith from being released is fear and unbelief. I don't think for most Christians unbelief is really the issue. The issue is fear. It's about identity. It's about not wanting to make a fool of yourself. It's about stepping out in faith to the edge of faith and beyond. And so most of us believe, we believe that God can do anything, don't we? So why aren't we doing it? We're not doing it because we're fearful to step out. And so we think, oh, well, Dave's got faith, he can do it. Okay? Revival's not going to come unless we all begin to move in faith. C.S. Lewis said, faith is being able to hold on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing moods. See, our moods and emotions, including fear, exert such an influence that unless we master them, it can destroy the trust in what we know to be true. Amen? Now, you might say, well, I haven't got any faith. Rubbish. The Bible says that each has a measure of faith. And beyond that, everyone exercises faith every day. Every time you get on the bus, you put your faith in the driver to get you to your destination. Every time I get into the car with my wife, I put my faith in her driving. Every time you get on an airplane, Man, that's a big one. You put your faith in some guy up the front, that he actually knows what he's doing. And so don't say to me you've got no faith, because you're already exercising faith. If you can put your faith in the pilot of an aeroplane, surely you can put your faith in Jesus. Amen. And we need to understand that. Now, when it comes to faith, Ephesians 6 gives us a little clue. Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, above all things, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. That's how we overcome fear and unbelief. Roman soldiers used to carry a shield 4 foot tall, 2.5 feet wide, so it covered them pretty much. Why did they do that? Because the common practice in the day in warfare was that soldiers would dip their arrowheads into poison or pitch, set it on fire, and fire arrows into the opposite army. And the shield was given as the only weapon with clear purpose in Ephesians 6. What was its purpose? To protect us from the fiery darts of the evil one. The mind is the battleground, and we need to get rid of the fear and the doubts. The fiery darts of fear, doubt, temptation, despair, persecution, false teaching. We need that shield of faith, so that when the enemy throws that at us, we can shield ourselves and our hearts and our minds from all the lies he would try and bombard us with. He bombards us to cause your faith and mine and trust in God to fail. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. Hallelujah. So what is faith? We need to see that faith is more than just belief. See, we can believe in Jesus, but it won't get you to heaven. Even the devil believes in Jesus. Amen? He knows Jesus is real. He knows he has power. And so, that's what it says in James 2:19. Even demons believe and tremble. Faith is not just belief. It's believing God, believing what Jesus has done on the cross, but then trusting that God's word to us is true. And whatever God says and we do, he's going to do it. Amen? So that's the active part of faith. It's not just belief. It's belief plus action. It's belief plus saying, God said this, so I'm going to line my life up with him. And I'm going to be obedient to what God has said. Now, we as Christians are the worst people when it comes to being obedient. I found. Over many years. Amen? We come here week by week and we hear wonderful preaching. We hear lots of different stuff from the Bible. Lots of things. How much of it do we actually do? That's a challenge, isn't it? See, belief needs action. And if we're going to change and grow in faith, we need to take on board what God is saying and try and put it into practice in our lives. I believe every time you come and hear a message or a prophecy, it won't all be for you, but I can guarantee there will be something God will be speaking to you about. Doesn't matter how terrible the sermon is, there will be something that you can grasp, something that you can begin to do. Guess what happens when that happens? Once you begin to move, God increases. Hallelujah. And your faith begins to grow. So faith depends on obedience. See, God's not going to give you more if you've not done what he's already said. Roger and I know a very famous prophet. He came to a big church that we were involved with, or I was involved in Southampton, about 1,000 people. And he spoke. Good word. He came back a month later and he stood up and everyone was getting ready for part two. And he said, I've got nothing to say. Because what I said last time, you haven't done. And he turned around and sat down. Man, that was a lesson to most of us here. Most of us there. It just brought home the fact that so often we take things for granted and we don't really hear what God is wanting to say. Amen? Now, I'm sure none of you are like that. Okay? I'm sure you take the word and you take it seriously and you try and put it into action. But it is important that we do that. Faith is belief plus trust. It's resting in the presence of God and his word to us. Faith is an active practice based on belief. Faith is not ambiguous, it's not unsure, it's concrete, it's conviction. Faith is solid, it's unshakable confidence in God based upon the assurance that he is faithful to his promises. It's not an airy-fairy thing. What is this faith? It's stronger than any concrete. It's surer than anything that you can see around you. Hallelujah. By faith, we move forward even when our destination is not clear. What God has promised will happen. Faith treats things that are hoped for in reality. That's the definition in Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's tangible. If God has said it, it will come to pass. It's as sure as anything. Now, you might not know what's going to happen when God takes you on a journey. But if God says, I want you to do this, faith is taking that first step. And then the next. You won't know where you're going until you get there. Necessarily. That's the exciting thing about a life of faith. Amen? When I was 18, God saved me and he gave me a whole load of promises about traveling the world and having spiritual sons. And I understood none of it. But it sounded good. And I started to take little steps. Now, if I'd have known then what I know now, maybe I wouldn't have taken the first step. But I can tell you this, it's been an exciting life. Never a dull moment. Full of fulfillment, full of joy. Yes, disappointments, things that have hurt, things that have gone wrong. But I wouldn't have had it any other way. I'd live the same life again. See, if God gives you just a little nudge, if you obey that nudge, you could end up anywhere. Hallelujah. Nowhere bad, everywhere in his purpose. It's the journey of faith. Faith is a journey. See, that's the thing about faith. You don't know how it will end. You only know what God is saying now. And then you go step by step. Amen? Lovely people were baptized last week. That was probably a few steps in their faith journey. But man, they've only just started. God's got so much promise for them if they continue to walk with him. That's why Christianity is so exciting. Hallelujah. I'm 70, but Moses didn't start till he was 80. So I'm not ready to give up on this journey of faith. And I know he's got more stuff that I could never imagine. Roger's the oldest here, and he's still going. He's still reading Psalms and getting stirred up by the Spirit. Great example. Some of you are just mere youngsters. You've not even got to the point of release. Amen? It's coming. I really believe it's coming. There's a new day around the corner. Hallelujah. Now, the thing is that trust is not easy. It's far easier to walk by sight, not by faith. Amen? People like to do that, don't they? They like to believe what they can see. And they're happy as long as they can see it. But if they have to walk without the sight, then that is faith. And that's a bit more difficult. If what God asks you to do always seems logical and always makes sense to you, it's probably not God who you're listening to. Because most times when God speaks to me, it makes no sense at all. Because he will say, I want you to get up and say that. I want you to go over there and tell that person about Jesus. I want you to get on a plane and go to this city in India when I don't know anybody there. That's faith. And he's never, ever let me down. Faith is amazing. Hebrews 11, that wonderful list of people who walked by faith. We can read that and we can say, yeah, risk takers, mold breakers, system shakers. But most of all, they were ordinary people who were just faith walkers. People like me and you. Wasn't there anything special about them, except they loved God and they did what he said. And they walked with the Spirit. And God calls them to be great people of faith. That can be you. That can be me. Faith will always bring us to the realm of supernatural and the impossible. That's what faith does. Amen? Faith is supernatural. And the next couple of times I speak, I'm going to share some of the things, miraculous things, that faith has put before me, just as an ordinary person. All these acts of faith can easily make us feel inadequate. But don't worry, your faith can and will grow. Amen? It can and will grow. There are two occasions when Jesus uses the word amazed, and they both concern faith. He was amazed when the centurion had enough faith to say, well, no, I don't need you to come and pray with my servant, just speak the word. Jesus said, that man's got amazing faith. The opposite is true when he went to Nazareth and he was amazed that he could do no miracles because of their lack of faith. Amen? If you want to see the supernatural life, then you see how to grow in faith. Quickly, I'm going to give you some strategies for you to begin to grow in faith. Number one, listen to the word of God taught and preached. The gospel and truth needs to be preached to bring people to faith, who in turn will bring others to faith, who in turn will bring the kingdom into this world. Amen. Who's gonna respond if no one preaches? We've got to preach and we've got to teach. Romans 10:7-7. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You don't grow your faith by putting the Bible by your bed at night. You don't grow your faith by relying on emotional experiences. Faith is deepened through reading the Word, hearing it preached, and most important of all, we've said it before, acting upon it. And so, preaching and teaching are very important. We hear, we read, we respond. If you do that, your faith will grow. Amen. I'm not surprised that so many Christians are weak in faith, because I am shocked when I kind of find out that so many Christians are not reading the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. It's God's Word that we believe and put into action. And so that's a very big key. Listen to the Word of God and put it into practice. Secondly, to grow our faith, we need people. We need one another. I would have never grown in my faith unless people had got hold of me and discipled me and spent time with me and corrected me and showed me the right way. Amen? I think I've told this story before, but I used to go to a church when we were first married. And they used to move in the gifts. And I was praying that I would move in the gifts. And I felt that I had a word of knowledge, that the Holy Spirit had given me something to share. And so I blurted it out. And I said, I feel there's someone here tonight who's got a problem with their womb, hysterectomy. And as soon as I said it, I wanted the ground to open up, because I realized it was a men's meeting. Now, you can't make a bigger mistake than that. And in reality, that would have finished me off. I would have never gone back. I was thinking, stuff all that. It's not true. But on the way out, I was trying to sneak out afterwards. But on the way out, some very wise guys got hold of me and they said, Pete, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear God too well tonight, did you? And I said, no. And instead of telling me off, kicking me out, they spent the next year discipling me on how to hear God. Now, that word of knowledge is something I've used throughout my ministry. I don't think I've ever made a mistake like that again. We need people to help us to grow in faith. Hallelujah. The shield of faith is increased in effectiveness when soldiers are linked together and joined together. The shields are there. And the Romans used to hold their shields above their heads, and none of those arrows could touch any of them. Together, we can grow in faith. If you want to be protected from the enemy and grow, be around people of faith. Stick with faithful people. March with the unit and live like a family. That's why the family of God is powerful. That's why discipleship is vital to increase your faith. If you haven't got a spiritual mentor, a spiritual mum or a spiritual dad, find one. We all need one. I had two great ones in my life. And I'm only here today because of them and what they put into my life. And so we need one another. Don't hang around negative people. That robs you of faith. Amen. Hang around those who speak faith. Hang around those who are happy. Hang around those who have got something to share that's worthwhile. And then you'll grow. So we need the word. We need one another. We also need to grow our faith. We need purpose. God gives us assignments which require us to trust in Him in special ways. God gives us challenges and tasks to build our faith. He sent the disciples out two by two. He told them to heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. He got his disciples to feed 5,000 people. He gave them a sense of purpose. It was the way of stretching and strengthening their faith muscles. Amen. God's got a purpose for each one of you. And it starts with seeds of faith. Starts with seeds of faith. I had a seed of faith once. It was to be an apostle, to go and plant churches. And that's come to pass over the years. But do you know what the first step was? It started in my heart. It got to my head. It got to my prayer life. I shared it with my spiritual dad. And he said, right, I want you to clean the church toilets for the next year. I said, oh, thanks. That sounds very exciting to me. That doesn't make me an apostle. But I tell you what, it did. Because he saw that although I had a seed of purpose, my attitude and my humility and my character needed to change. Nothing like cleaning smelly toilets to change the way you view yourself. Amen? But that was a valuable lesson to me. Never, ever forget it. Nearly finished. This is a good one. You like this. To grow our faith, we need problems. How are you going to grow your faith without problems? Faith is what we use to overcome. Faith is what we use to be victorious. And so we need to welcome problems. God doesn't give us problems, but He allows a few to come into our life to strengthen our faith muscles. to see how we will react, to see whether we go down the pan and lose our faith, to see if our faith grows and we change because of it. None of us wants problems. We all like smooth sailing. We want happy relationships. We want fulfilling jobs. We want great health. We want obedient children. How many people know that life is not like that? Never has been. And yet there's a whole world out there trying to strive for it. It's not where it's at. Problems get in the way. They hit us like storms, bringing waves of fear and disruption. But problems are necessary to develop our faith. They drive us to rely on God. And they teach us to learn on Him. They cause us to grow in confidence in the unseen reality of our God and His involvement in our lives. We don't really know God at all unless He is all you have. Amen. It's when you're rock bottom, when there is nothing else, but it's only Him, that your faith takes a massive leap, because He's the only one with the answers. But we're all trying to solve our problems, we're all trying to overcome, instead of acknowledging He is the one. Amen. God uses our problems to deepen our faith in Him. Problems are opportunities for God to show His strength and release miracles. Amen. We're going to see miracles in this church because our faith is growing. Amen. Do you feel your faith is growing? If I've got anything to do with it, I'm going to stir that faith. See, a couple of years ago, the enemy comes along. I preached a great series on David being a warrior and being in victory. And so what does the devil do? He tries to knocked me off with cancer. And for the preacher, it was the worst type of cancer because it was in my jaw. And it would have meant I couldn't preach or talk or ever be up here again. At that point, I had God. That was it. Leslie couldn't do anything. She was great. My boys couldn't do anything. It was only God who came through. And I had to learn to eat again. I had to learn to talk again. But man, my faith grew. Amen. Now, I don't know whether that's going to come back. I don't know what other problems I will have. But I'm not that bothered. Because I know that I will go when it's God's time for me to go. Not 1 second before. And so I carry on. Amen. Don't be fearful. Don't be discouraged. But you just take hold of God's hand and you carry on walking in the Spirit. And He carries on blessing you. And He carries on talking to you. And He carries on putting His arms around you. And He carries on loving you. Amen. You just, anyone you that says to you there's no God, just let me have 5 minutes with them. Just doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Lastly, to grow in faith, we need the right perspective. Luke 17:5-6, when the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith, He said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, they would be able to uproot and cast a mulberry tree into the sea. However small, we all have a seed of faith. It will only grow if we use it. Amen. Ali's great at bringing prophetic words on the garden, seeds and all of that. And that's so true about faith. You only need a seed. Water it with God's word. Water it with a bit of belief. And it will flourish. It will grow. From that seed, a whole tree of faith will grow. See, the important issue was not the size of their faith, but the size of their God. That's the key. That's the right perspective. It's not the size of your faith that's going to see you through. It's the fact that we have a big God. And He's true to His word. And we can put our faith in Him. To many people, the important thing is that they have belief, positive thinking. And what you believe is actually secondary. They have a notion that there is something mystical in the realm of believing. A sort of zap power that transforms mortals into Captain Marvels. It's not true. The truth is that mere belief itself has no power. You can believe in God, but unless you have faith in God, unless you put your trust in God, nothing's going to happen. It's not faith that moves mountains, but it's God that moves mountains. Amen? Always remember that. The writer of Hebrews, after the list of faith heroes, tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For faith to be effective, our focus needs to be on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Problems are neither big or small for God. Our perspective needs to be enlarged so that we see God as the one who is capable of responding to our faith in Him. Psalm 56:4, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear. by faith, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen. Belief has to involve faith. Faith has to involve action. I hope that's helped tonight. Five simple things. Amen. Get into God's word, listen to the preaching, put it into practice. Mix with faith people. Encompass problems. Hallelujah. Have the right perspective. And there was one other. I can't remember. But it's there. Amen.